SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, it's weekend preview time. Twin Spires weekend preview, and before you can preview the weekend, you gotta get a little. Couple tidbits in about yesterday, and most notably, we were kind of tied into Sam Houston. I was certainly watching what was going on in New York as well, but after that conversation with Chris Griffin, I was a little intrigued, and you know, it's funny when I tuned in. I guess it must have been right when they were getting started, late afternoon, and it a couple different places you had inquiries and some hurly burly, resulting, you know, certainly for those that went after that pick six sequence at Sam Houston, you had the takedown of the 3-5 shot. That's fantastic. Yeah, that upset the apple cart right away. The one I didn't think it was, you know, it was going to be a surprise. But yeah, in New York you had one, and Gulfstream too was, what was it, the 7th? Was it the 7th at Gulfstream? And I didn't think that one in particular. Yeah, stuff's happening so fast, and you know, when you're waiting, I didn't have anything involved in the Gulfstream one, but you know, as the inquiries drag on, you know, you move on to other things. That's the worst, right? When you're waiting, and then you realize, wait a minute, there's a race that I got to spin over here. You know, you're watching the steward's feed, you know, over and over and over again, and it's like you make your own decision, and you know, what's taking the steward so long, right? Yeah. So anyway, that pick six sequence ended up, you know, I think in part because of the takedown, this was, you know, very, ended up being really approachable, and there was just the one. I mean, as long as you didn't single Fantastic, but the only tough horse in the sequence was the Danny Caldwell Scott Young winner of that fourth race, Bebop Baby, who essentially under Sophie Doyle wired and paid $16.40. Everything else was, you know, either favored or, you know, right there, second choice types. And then in the anchor leg, which was the race that I was most interested in, and the two Brett Calhouns run 1-2, and the firster, I actually leaned on more on the firster, and I bet the firster to win, and then kind of backwheeled that filly, Fashion Rage, and so got out okay because of the other Calhoun, the one for Chester Thomas. Lovely ride. But the key to this was that you had the scratch of the Amos horse, that Greatest Love that was supposed to ship in and bypassed the, you know, the maiden race. And that Hillary G, who was a horse that Chris liked, ran well but had a terrible start, was unruly as a firster, And actually, Fashion Rage herself didn't want to load initially. Anyway, that Hillary G will come back, and she's not going to take her long to break her maiden, nor will it take that Fashion Rage. This looks like a nice little race, nice little group. But it was the Candy Ride that wins. So anyway, the pick six, 17,000. 17,000. And that's one winner, which is pretty amazing. And I think the issue was that, you know, if you singled Santastic, so the bouncing around, I'm sure there would have been a lot more hitters if that hadn't happened. And then in the second half of the card, you ended up with a carryover in this one. So tonight at Sam Houston, you've got another opportunity to go after the Space City, over 10,000. So good to get Sam Houston. I didn't watch the Wednesday stuff. So it was nice to get back in there. Of course, New York and Gulfstream as well. But the focus moves toward the weekend at this point, and most notably, Oaklawn and Gulfstream. I'm going to spend most of our morning, I think, on that front. Let me give you the rundown. Hammer's going to join us in just a few minutes after they got back going at Hot Springs. And, yeah, wasn't a particularly, special set of races there yesterday. But they'll pick up momentum here as we go. So Hammer will kick things off. He's actually got a handful of things to catch up on. James Scully, we'll get Scully in here with the Kentucky Derby report. Not that there was a tremendous amount of Derby things to deal with. Obviously the Japanese runner, other than that, I should mention the Soup and Sandwich performance came back with an 80 buyer, and exchanged some notes with Mark Cassie. He thought it was going to be a moderate fig, but he also noted that this colt has got some learning yet to do. Needs a little little more polish, and they're gonna consider things including the Florida Derby potentially for Soup and Sandwich next. So. There's the postscript to that. That number wasn't out until after we got off the air yesterday. Jay Privman will join us. Scully, of course, will do. I don't know what Scully handicapped, but we'll get his plays. Jay joins us at the top of hour two, of course, and we'll get into Derby Watch. Jay will also, anchors the Hall of Fame coverage, we'll get Jay's thoughts on the 10 nominees, as it were, that will be voted upon. EJXD2, a little Ed DeRosa after Jay. Nick will join us. Nick Tamaro will do a rundown on the – there's actually now also a Sunday cross-country pick five, be aware. They're adding that with the return of Monomoy Girl. So Sunday they added same format essentially, two – races from Aqueduct and three from Oaklawn. And of course, you got the same format with the three stakes on Saturday. So Nick will go through that. Mike Welch, for a good portion of the third hour, will talk to Mike and get his thoughts. The races at Gulfstream, it's a nice card, and there's all these stakes, and it's filled in nicely with a couple of maiden specials and a couple of allowances that are actually placed they're not problematic. For instance, the late pick five starts with a $62,000 optional claiming, a pricey allowance race essentially, and that breaks up the middle portion of the stake sequence. It starts early with the Here Comes the Bride is the third, the McDermott is the fourth, then there's a Maiden Special. Then you start back with the Palm Beach, and then the middle pick four, races 7 through 10, there's another one of those optional claiming type $62,000 groups, you know, classy allowance bunch, going as the seventh. So it's kind of it's almost like two cards, frankly, with 14 races. So I haven't decided if I just I don't know if I'm going to play just the late pick five. I mean, the stakes, they're, yeah, there's a lot of nice horses and horses you're familiar with. Nothing really was sort of grabbing me as, oh, you know, here's a fabulous opportunity. I don't know. It seemed very, you know, can't say cut and dry because it never works that way. But there wasn't, I don't know. It just seemed like, okay, this is a really just standard kind of a set of stakes. And you know, because they're races like the Fountain of Youth and the Devona Dale, you know, you're going to get focus, but I don't know. As betting opportunities, we'll see. I'm anxious to see if the guys involved today have, you know, something clever that jumped out and grabbed them. Because I wasn't, at least, you know, at least on the first pass. We'll certainly add in, you know, we'll certainly add in Mike Welch and his viewpoint when it comes to, and you know, everybody, Donald Harris and, you know, Pace and Dave Norton. And we'll get the workout report, you know, late this afternoon and see if there's anything, you know, any little hidden gems that are lurking in there. Hammer's lurking for us, and might as well get to him pretty quick because I don't want to waste a bunch of time. The rest of it, you know, the rest of the weekend, or you know, the afternoon yesterday. There wasn't anything earth-shattering. So let's turn to Oaklawn, and I'm going to pull out the the weekend. You did have a one thing about Oaklawn yesterday. You did have a $100 winner, right? The board light up with $110. those Arkansas breads, they'll shake things up. Jamie Gonzalez and Starfish Stable with a homebred by Icon Ike. Blanco Bronco. 54-1. You know, you don't get those all that often. And you had actually beyond that, you had a nice $30 winner. You had a 40-1 shot later on as well. You know, the Arkansas breds, the fur was flying. To say the least. Tim Dixon sent out Dusty Hill. That was another one at 41-1. So some of that, the early part of that card yesterday was kind of fun. Dallas Stewart won the nightcap. That I saw, that Take Charge Lauren with John Court for Mr. Horton. Homebred. Tappet Philly. To round out the action at Oaklawn today, and you know, they're much like Sam Houston, like we discussed with Chris. They're doing the same thing at Oaklawn. Making up, you know, as much as they can on their cards. Case just sent me a note. didn't he offer you, he gave you that second phone number, correct? He happened to mention that to me yesterday. You've called that second number too. Okay. Hammer was telling me, he called me yesterday and we were talking and he says the place, he says it's very strange. He said some phones, some people's cells can't, they can't get a call through when they're in the building at Oaklawn. So I don't know what to tell you. All right. I'll let him know. And maybe he'll, you know what? Maybe he'll call, have him call you in. All right. Yeah. All right. I just let him know, Case. Might as well give you the, while we wait for Hammer, I'll give you the second set of the races from Oaklawn on Sunday for the cross country. And much like the stakes opportunity, you've got with the three on Saturday, the sixth, eighth, and ninth as well on Sunday, the three stakes give you really all a nice scenario. And the races at Aqueduct, because it's a pretty quiet week. There's only the Stymie on the stakes side at Naira. There's a third level allowance going 7/8, the seventh, and the eighth is a maiden 20. So two nice sequences. I don't think that Nick got to the Sunday work yet. All right. So still case, okay, still nothing from Hammer. Jeez. All right, let's see if what we've got. Rick, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
All right, good. All right, it was strange. The case said he kept getting, crazy.
Well, it's tough getting here. I finally last week I went to the bookkeeper's office and talked to Terry, and she said, "Oh, you come in here anytime." I said, "Great." Well, she's not here yet, so it's pretty. So I'm back in the marketing storage closet here. Anyway, it's funny. So last week I went in with Terry and I said, "Thanks for letting me do the show in here." And when I walked out, I said, "You're going to get a call or two about She goes, "What are you talking about?" I said, "No, don't worry." So she called me in the next day and she said, "Boy, you were right. I got a call from Joe and Diane Ragsdale, longtime listeners and owners, and said, "Hey, you got a shout out on the radio." So I said I would give them a shout out, and pretty funny. She couldn't believe it. She says, "No way." I said, "I'm just telling you, somebody's going to hear you and call you and say, I heard your name on the radio." So anyway, pretty wild. But nothing says we're back like a $100 winner and an $85 winner, right?
Yeah, I just glanced at that, and the Arky breads will shake you up every time.
Yeah, they do. And I got to tell you, so we're over the snow, we're over the freeze, we're back, and so last night it was supposed to rain and whatever, but so by 10 o'clock, kind of doze off, and about midnight you hear the rain coming down. And you see the flash outside, and you're thinking, like, what's that? Is that like a boat or something? And it was lightning. And I'm going to tell you what. I heard the loudest lightning, whatever you call it, lightning strike, whatever you want to say, I have ever heard in my life. It was otherworldly. And, of course, couldn't go back to sleep. And then another one came and looked out over and saw the most unbelievable light show here and then continued to rain all night. But I'm telling you what, I mean, if I was looking for a sign, that was it. I mean, it was just incredible. So, so out of the snow and into the rain. So it is going to rain. It rained all night, and it's supposed to rain through the weekend. So I just want to, kind of touch base with that, let everybody know what we're going to be up against. Not up against, but it's normal here. But when you're handicapping this weekend, you want to, look for the mud.
Well, and we may, we're going to get that on the East Coast too. We're running tomorrow, and I think it's going to be wet at potentially at Aqueduct as well. So, this is going to be we're at that point. It's been a rough patch, obviously. In the meantime, though, we've got two terrific sets of stakes cards, both days. Before we get to that, Hammer, a couple of other notes. You had a couple of things you wanted to include today.
Well, we get back to training here, and I wanted to say something here to compliment the track crew and the horsemen here. I mean, we went without training for 11 days in the middle of the meet here, and there's no training track here, and you couldn't get anywhere anyway. And, we had to wait until, nature took its course and it dried and the track crew did their thing and the track was open on Tuesday. But 11 days of no training and not one complaint by any horseman or woman, owner, trainer. There was nothing to complain about. There was nothing that could have been done, but that doesn't stop people from complaining normally. And I just want to say thank you to them, and it's a tribute to them that we're racing 2 days after we open the track. I don't know many places that would not train for 11 days and then, come back and be able to run a few cards. So I wanted to, it's a good group of horsemen here. They just kind of go with the flow, and and sometimes you don't appreciate that, but just letting everybody know that we do here in the office, we appreciate the, everybody letting their do their job and let it work out. But so that was a good deal. But the one of the things I wanted to talk about, which was the Hall of Fame. The nominees came out this year, and they come out every year, and you kind of go through them and think about things and go on. But this year particularly hits me at home because all the horses and all the people involved. I mean, I've had, except for Harvey DeGrasse. I mean, I have a bond with it, so it's pretty wild. So I'm going to kind of want to talk about that and kind of go over and maybe, tell you if I do not have a vote, so that I will maybe kind of throw in what I would do. But, they're all fairly recent, or they're recent, or they're, the guys that are on there are certainly recent. So it's not like we have to go back and barely even look up PPs because I know most of these, but, obviously starting with American Pharoah, what can we say? He's the horse that ended the streak of all those Belmonts going to and all the disappointments. But before that, he was I remember him as a 2-year-old, and believe me, I'm not one of those guys that looks at a horse and says, oh, wow, look at him. But I don't think I ever had more people, horsemen type people, tell me that this horse had the most unbelievable stride and flow to him that they've ever seen. And I look and I go, I can't really tell a difference. It's a 2-year-old. They could just say that, man, this is something special. And, of course, he went on and did what he did. Actually, for me, it was the last named race. We changed the Chandelier to the American Pharoah. And obviously, that was a no-brainer, and I'm sitting here at Oakmont Park where he's got a statue out front. So I think he's going to make it on the first ballot, obviously. But then we got the Blind Luck, and she started out as a maiden claimer, and I think I've told this story a couple times. But Hollendorfer and his crew bought the horse out of Calder, and it was at Del Mar, and I can remember him coming in. One of the few times he would come in and ask for a race and go, hey, I just bought this horse at Calder. You think he can run one of those, now when there's the 2-starter races? Yeah, sure, no problem. They come around anyway. And, of course, she went in and, won for fun and then went on to win. But She was something special. She didn't win a Breeders' Cup. She ran in a couple of them. And didn't get embarrassed in either one, a second and a third. But she won at 8 different tracks, and she won stakes at 7 different tracks across the country, from Del Mar to Oakmont to Delaware to Saratoga, Churchill, around. I put a lot of stock in that, so we'll come back and talk about maybe who gets in. I think she's a step above Arvid DeGrasse, even though they're very close. She had more starts. She just did more in one more place. Her game on Duke, okay? He won 3 Santa Anita handicaps, obviously, when I was there. He's a Homer horse, won a lot of horses in California, had a few tries at the Breeders' Cup, 3 of them, as a matter of fact. He did throw in a second. Wasn't so good out of town. But that last Santa Anita handicap, I remember explicitly, was him, Will Take Charge, and Mucho Macho Man, the 3 big horses that came together. And I remember spending a sleepless night putting the weights on for that, for some reason, of trying to get it right. Even the 1 pound here or there didn't matter. And in the end, the local guy, Baffert won at a decent price, came on due, and I don't think there was ever any doubt of that. And I remember the first Sandy the handicap for him was Chantel. And I remember Bob saying something. What do you think? He goes, they've got a shot. And that's his way of saying the horse is doing well. He did the same thing for Richard's Kid for one of his Del Mar wins in the Pacific Classic. Just kind of gave it the old, nah, not doing too bad. And kind of, she was riding there regularly, but kind of that was her put her on the map pretty good. So nice horse, won a lot of money, almost $6 million. No Breeders' Cup. We'll talk about him. Kona Gold. What can you say about Kona Gold? 5 Breeders' Cups. Yeah, it's incredible. I don't know if another horse will ever do that, running 5 straight Breeders' Cups. Got the victory at Churchill. One of the premier sprinters in the land of fast horses of California at the time. And he only had 1 win out of town, but trained by Bruce Hadley, who's pretty much known for staying around, which in that case was not a bad thing. Named a race after him, Kona Gold. So I don't know. You saw Jay's comments in the thing. I don't know how you keep him out as a sprinter, Kona Gold for sure. Rags to Riches. Everyone thinks about the Belmont win over Curlin, which was fantastic. But Todd had horses out there with us when she was coming around, and there's not many races that I remember, especially a maiden race, but I remember her 7 furlong maiden race there for some reason. Just looked so powerful and ease and graceful. And, of course, she went on to win the 2 great ones at Santa Anita and then win the Oaks and then obviously the Belmont. She only had 7 starts. She won 5 of them. So, I mean, she's there. I don't know if she's ready yet, but, nice. Nice group of horses. We come to the trainers and the jockey. Obviously, Todd, Todd's a friend. We went to school together. Kind of cool. I had no idea that, what he was going to do and that his family in the game and everything else. But, I got out of school and I went to Golden Gate Fields and went to Monmouth and he went to work for Wayne Lucas. I go, oh, my gosh. But, he's a pro's pro, and he's all the things he's done. I mean, I tell you, when that happens, I think I might even get on a plane to Saratoga with a lot of people and go see that ceremony. But top-class guy. And I tell you what, we've talked about this before, the people that get in. Yeah, they get in for Hall of Fame stuff they've done on the track. But you know what? Most of these guys are Hall of Fame people, too, and definitely Todd's he's a Hall of Famer all the way around. So not much to say about that. Christoph Beaumont, he first came around in the early 90s into New York when he went on his own. And at that time, I was at Monmouth Park. That was my third year at Monmouth Park. And I was a state guy there. And we connected right off the bat. I mean, at that time, I was bringing horses in left and right, and they were doing well. So I was on a little bit of a roll, and we connected and had him come to Monmouth for years in stakes and won a ton of stakes there. And I got to be very friendly with him and the barn and just good guy and knew he was going to go places, and he's won a ton of races. And him and Graham Motion actually came around about the same time, and I connected with both of them. And, you know, I hate to put a guy in bad spots when they come. So usually they were in good spots when they came to Monmouth. They won a lot of stakes up there. So, those, I mean, Christoph has just gone on and done well. And, you know, he's teetering on the edge of this, I think. Doug O'Neill, he's another friend that I, you know, see occasionally outside the races. Positive guys, went through derbies, three or four Breeders' Cups. I think he's won over 2,500 races, multiple training titles. I think he's on his way to the Hall. It's just great that I'm just so familiar with these guys. And then Corey Nakatani. I mean, I don't know what more needs to be said about him. I mean, he rode, I don't want to say with, I mean, he was with one of the greatest jockey colonies ever. And, won titles, he's won Breeders' Cup races, he's won almost 4,000 races. I mean, he rode the Pinkai, Stevens, Eddie D, Solis, McCarron, Cantasormo, Pival. I mean, you know, those guys are in the Hall of Fame already. And he's in the top 15 in just about every category there is, from money to wins, to stake wins, to grade one wins. So I think Corey deserves to be in there for sure. So, anyway, if I was voting, I'd probably vote in American Sparrow and Kona Gold for sure, and Todd and Corey right now. And I'd have to think about some of the other horses. And I think the two other guys are on their way, whether they're going in now or not. But I think this is a really good crew, and it's just kind of neat to, you know, kind of look back on what you've done and all the horses and people you've come in contact with. So that's my Hall of Fame review.
Nice. I'm actually on the same page, instantly. And, sometimes you look at these lists and you think, everybody here is, could get in. There's some tough conversations. The Rags to Riches is one of them, that she had a unique accomplishment, but in totality, I didn't see it last year, and I don't see it again, this year. And, Game On Dude feels like a regional, one of those regional types that, just couldn't take it on the road. I don't know. Blind Luck, I voted for last year, and Kona. I mean, Kona Gold should have been in ages ago. Ideally, when Solis got in, that would have been, that would have been ideal.
Yeah, you mentioned the Homer thing, and I'm the Breeders' Cup and Triple Crown. I mean, I'm a big Breeders' Cup guy. Championship type races, competing well in those events. But you're going to get upset. But ever since Sky Beauty made it, and I think she's in the Hall of Fame, she ran every race in New York except for two in the Breeders' Cup. Finished out of the money both times. And she's in. So the Homer thing doesn't take as big of an effect as it since then for me. What I'm saying? So, certain trainers, don't go on the road. And, maybe they shouldn't be penalized for that.
Well, from that standpoint, that angle comes up a lot with Alan Jerkins, who was not big for shipping horses.
Exactly. And who's going to say that Alan Jerkins is a Hall of Famer through and through, and his horses aren't Hall of Famers through and through. So,
yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So, I've kind of backed off a little bit on the Homer angle, but, there's some of these, like I said, I would vote Blind Luck in now just because she's just took her show on the road and just won a lot of big races. Including the Oaks, the Fantasy, she won the Alabama, the La Trienne, I don't know, I appreciated that. I mean, Harvard Aquat, didn't she win she was a horse of the year, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. Yes, she was.
It seemed like Blind Luck had her number, not saying that maybe both shouldn't go in every once, they took turns beating each other. But anyway, what's kind of cool is, like I said, you remember being involved with these instead of some horses from 40, 50 years ago that you have
That's
to look at.
A good point. Yeah.
You know, speaking of that, real quick, looking up, Marcia Cassidy, of course, passed a few weeks ago, and talking about announcers. Now, just got a chance to hear him a few years when I got back east before he had retired, and let me tell you, coming from, you know, like flashy California and coming into listening to Marshall Cassidy, I'm like, what is this? Did not get it at all. And I'm an announcer guy, and, you know, I picture that. And then I started listening a little bit later, and I started to appreciate it more and more. And then the last, when she passed, I said, you know what, I'm going to start, I want to listen to some more because I just want to kind of take it in. And it grew on me more and more and more, and, just, I mean, he was a top flight announcer. Just, you know, the style threw me at, you know, the more the direct, the just the, you know, kind of slow delivery at times, but always on the money. And so when I was going back and looking at YouTube races that he'd call, I discovered or rediscovered the best horse that I've ever seen, and bar none now. As, you know, people always ask you. And I come up with different answers. And after watching, listening to a few of his calls, there's no doubt in my mind that John Henry was the best horse that I have ever seen. You know, I listened to him call, winning the Jockey Club Gold Cup and then the Turf Cup. I mean, this horse won turf, dirt, all four or five different jockeys, come back to California, do the same thing, won the Arlington. You know what? Find me a better horse that's ever run than John Henry. That just hit me as I was watching this. I go, well, who am I kidding? You know, obviously Spectacular Bid or,
interesting.
You know, Holy Bull or Firm Come With Me. No. Go back and watch, you know, I dare you to go back and watch 15 of his races and tell me what this horse did. Find me another horse that did what he did. So it was really kind of came to that conclusion. I said, what am I talking about? Next time somebody asks me who's the best horse they've ever seen, John Henry. Thank you. End of story.
I like that.
Yeah. And I came from Marshall Cassidy. I said, I'm going to listen to
That's funny.
and I mean, that horse was just amazing. He was just amazing. So, anyway, that was just a couple things I wanted to touch base on that pile up here. And we come in, we're back. And we've got, three stakes tomorrow and three stakes on Sunday. And, you know, we took entries yesterday for March. So the year is rolling along.
Very much. Some thoughts about the weekend?
Yeah, you know, some of the fields are a little smaller than we'd like. And you know, obviously probably has to do with some of the, you know, the not being able to train here. You know, let's start with look at the Southwest. We, you know, Robertina Diodoro's horse, was it Keep Me in Mind?
Yes.
He was obviously pointing for this race and then probably could have handled the first delay, but the second delay and then not being able to train, I think he just said, you know what, let's take a deep breath. It's only 2 weeks to the Rebel right here, and so rather than force something, because probably not going to be able to make the Southwest and the Rebel and then the Arkansas Derby, so he took a little break off. So, but we got Essential Quality, we got two champions racing over the weekend, Essential Quality and Monomoy Girl, so we have another rematch with Essential Quality and Jackie's Warrior. Both of these horses were training off the ground at Fairgrounds, so not affected. And it's going to be, I mean, it looks like these two, Jackie's Warrior, maybe a little more speed. It's going to be interesting to see. Essential Quality, you know, not necessarily be cranked up, but neither's the other one. Maybe Jackie's Warrior. If I had to pick one right now, maybe it's Jackie's Warrior. A horse to watch, I think, is Spielberg James. So we did think we lost the one, but, you know, Bob called and said, you know what, put him in. It's hard for him to pass up a 750, and I don't blame him. Maybe not one of his top three, but he doesn't send them here, especially if they're not doing well. Coming off a 13 flat, you know, bullet work on the 21st, I think that was probably signaled you know what? Let's get on the plane. So always dangerous. Spielberg with Baffert. Horse that could run a decent race is Woodhouse. I know they thought a lot of him. He caught the mud again last time. Had every chance to win that allowance race. First time going long. So there's going to be a goofball horse in there. Could be Woodhouse. The stake prior to that is the Spring Fever. Fillies and mares going 5.5 for 200, not too bad. And that race came up pretty good. Wesley Wardship's Kamari back. He did the same thing last year and won. He won the Purple Martin for 3-year-old fillies in the mud. So he's going to get mud. She's going to get mud again. So always keep your eye on Wesley when he ships around. The local favorite, of course, is Amy's Challenger. Came up just short last time. Mud didn't seem to bother, and won to a very, very nice filly. Frank used the Rockette horse, Billy Mott's horse. So she's going to be the one to beat. She'll be in front, and she does like it here. So we'll take a look at her and maybe Headland from the Steve Hobby barn. And then before that is the Razorback. I tell you, it's one of the quietest $600,000 races you're going to see. And once again, it drew seven, and interesting bunch here. Brad Cox comes in with Owendale, who went through a period of being a deep closer, and then showed some speed and did well in a couple of those races, and then went back to becoming that deep closer. Now in the Breeders' Cup, he was stuck out there at the 12-volt at Keeneland. He really had no chance. And ran a real good race, and then came back in the Clark and came from nowhere again and ran a decent race. So he's got a shot here. The local horse that's run all over the place. Hunk of Burning Love. If you want to go back and watch a horse, I mean, give everything. It was that horse, and just got nailed on the money by the Steve Atchison Silver State. So, I don't see a work sense. I don't know if he stayed here or he went somewhere off the premises to gallop or get stretch his legs a little bit. But Hunk of Burning Love is going to be tough, tough, tough on the front end. So keep an eye on him. And then Miss a Guide, of course, from Mike Sidham ships in. Second time facing older, his first race is a 4-year-old and just got beat less than a length in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, albeit a 5-horse field. But it won the Jim Dandy. This is a real horse, so he's starting out his season here too. So a nice competitive bunch, and obviously this race is going to lead to the Oakland Handicap, the $1 million Oakland Handicap in April, and then Sunday, all eyes are going to be a Monomoy Girl. I mean, you forget how, or maybe it's just me. I forgot what a super filly this is. You look back, she's won, 11 in a row? I mean, who does that? I mean, that's just fantastic. She's had breaks. She's had all kinds of stuff. Comes back. It just runs a race every time. So it's one of those races you want to sit back and just, give yourself a treat of watching one of the many super fillies we've had around in the last 10, 12 years. So. That's going to be cool. A couple other stakes. I always see Jersey Bred, Arkansas Bred, Down the Dusty Road, and Brad Cox has in the horse in there will probably be the favorite. And then the race before is the Dixie Belle. So action coming along. We're 2 weeks from the Rebel, and we're thrilled to be back in action. And I hope you check it out. I think we'll be on Fox. A couple of races will be on Fox this weekend as well, too.
Yes.
So, no excuse not to catch us.
Now, the America's Day at the Races and the cross country with both of the state trios.
Oh, there's a Sunday cross country now too, right?
Yeah, they added the same three your three stakes plus the seventh and eighth from Aqueduct.
Very good, and I'm actually scheduled to fly back to the Golden State for a couple of days. Out on Sunday, back on Tuesday, but I will put my foot in the Pacific Ocean. I can guarantee you that.
Nice.
But kind of a halfway mark, go home and check in on the family. But anyway, it's all good. Like I said, we're glad to be back racing, and and to have everybody have a great weekend. And always a pleasure to talk to you, Steve.
Hammer, I appreciate it, and look forward to rolling into the stakes schedule, and they're going to come hot and heavy at this point after this weekend and the Rebel just in 2 weeks. So we're back on underway. Appreciate it.
Back on.
We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Steve. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Away they go. Rick Amberly, everybody. And we'll stay here because Scully's standing by. James, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Big weekend of racing ahead. Really glad to get back at it. We got three preps. One tonight, John Battaglia Memorial, Fountain Youth in Southwest. And then we've got three preps next weekend. So these next two with the San Felipe, Tampa Bay Derby, and Gotham Stakes. So these next two weekends, six prep races, a lot of developments ahead. Once we get through next Saturday, the 6th, schedule slows down a little bit with only one prep each weekend for a couple weeks. So a big 2 weeks ahead. Looking forward to seeing what happens with the Southwest and Fountain Youth especially.
Obviously, with last week being a little quiet, it wasn't much of a of a Kentucky Derby report for you. But any thoughts on the Japanese winner?
You know, I definitely just took a look at that. I try to at least just see if there's anything relevant going on. And you know, it looks like just from like what Kelly Riley wrote in her recap that they're not really thinking Derby with that La Perouse. I mean, he obviously really finished up well to win by a couple lengths, but, you know, he showed no speed whatsoever. And the Japanese press box after the race was hinting that he might be pointed towards the Belmont Stakes. So that could still change, but right now I'm not sure if he's really under serious consideration for the Derby, Steve.
Yeah, but he does look like a horse that could come successfully to North America, that part of the equation.
Yeah, absolutely. He's Triple Crown nominated, and no doubt about it, he really finished, I thought, full of run. Like I said, he started a little slowly in that race, it looked like, but then when he finished up, he finished full run, and Connections thought enough of him to nominate him to the Triple Crown, so it's always possible.
You got to, before we talk about all the Saturday stuff, what about the Battaglia tonight?
Yeah, the Battaglia. I mean, I respect the two. I think the two probable favorites, Gretzky the Great's coming back. He's got a class edge. He might be too tough for him. I am a little bit worried about his trip from the rail. You know, he's been a little bit forward in all of his races last year, and he's got some speed to his outside in the gate. But, you know, that's really sort of a minor concern. Like the King, looks like a horse, you know, really sharp right now for Wesley Ward, has run big at two turns. But I do think this race is going to set up well for number 8, Hush of a Storm. He's 10-1 on the morning line for Bill Morey off of a back-to-back wins over the Poly at Turfway. Both wins came in a mile. I don't think he'll have any trouble stretching out an extra 16th of a mile. So I'm going to give a little bit of an edge in there. It's a very competitive race, I thought, Steve. But I like number 8, Hush of a Storm.
Interesting. Also trying to get some answers on the cross entries and see what's going on with McPeak with that Warrior in Chief and Kinetic Sky. I haven't, and I'll send out a couple of notes.
That Warrior in Chief, I mean, really a tough post out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was a nice win. That was on that Stars of Tomorrow 2 program. And, you know, he could be a decent horse, Canthro's colt for McPeak.
Did you look at the trophy at the girls' race?
I did. I took a look at it. I like number 1. I like that speeding for Mark Cassie and Into Mischief Philly. I thought that she ran, it really sort of a rough trip in her debut back in August. Came back on the dirt, you know, ran okay, obviously coughed up a lead there. But I liked her race last time. I thought that she really dug in. I think she's going to be forward, going to show speed from the inside, shows a sharp work over the track. I like her wire-to-wire in there with Santiago Gonzalez, who's having a really good Turfway meet.
There's a lot going on in the girls' race for 65,000. I'll tell you that. this drew some you know, some notable names. And, you know, you mentioned Cassie on the Rail. Well, that's the tip of the Cassie iceberg, because there's also Pledge that he's taken over with DJ Stable, the Candy Ride Philly, last seen breaking her maiden at the beginning of the year at Turfway. But Dirty Dangle in here, too, for Eclipse and Gary Barber. And this was a Not This Time Philly that they bought in Canada and had, you know, they were really excited about her prospects in the Juvenile Turf Sprint, and it did not go well. And this is where she makes her return. So there's plenty going on here. And Eclipse actually has got a second horse involved, the Mishawish filly, Igloo, that Mrs. Vogel bred out of the Smart Strike mare Winter Palace, and a first out winner in December. And this could be any kind of filly. There's a ton of stuff happening here. There's Maker with the Frisetto homebred as well, the Declaration of War filly, Phantom Vision. For $65,000, this thing's a war.
Yeah, and I'll say this. Anybody that saw that December 26th race from this Igloo, that Mishawish filly that you're talking about for Jonathan Thomas, that was just an eye-catching performance. I took a little, I don't know if she beat those horse, the horse competition she beat, but I mean, that she looked special that night, and I'm definitely, it's going to be interesting to see if she, you know, how much speed she shows under Jimenez, because she does have a little bit of like a freaky, she looked a little bit freaky winning that race. I'll say that about Igloo, was really something to see. I was impressed that night.
Well, and I'm going to mention two other horses, at least two others out of this race. Ray Handel, if he went ahead and shipped, Ray Handel entered, just read it, the Constitution filly. The maiden breaker was pretty impressive and earned a nice fig. And Wait for Nairobi, Ray Hernandez, that technically was moved up, but certainly ran a winning race, breaking the maiden in mid-January. And there was one other horse actually in here that I'm overlooking. I didn't want to shortchange. Jason Cook, Delta Gamma Cats, a Vancouver filly that is a maiden but just missed in the debut from a difficult post. So this thing, this is well worth watching tonight, 9:16 for the Cincinnati Trophy, and the boys go off at 8:16 in the Battaglia Memorial. So there's a good maiden race in between. Turfway back in action and moving toward what should be a contentious Jeff Ruby when the time comes, given the points increase and the money involved in the Ruby. So Turfway tonight. What else?
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's. I'll go to Gulfstream Park. I'll give some picks at Gulfstream, and then I'll hit Oaklawn. I'll just start right with the Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream, the last race of the day, race 13, or race 14. I just can't. What a ideal setup of greatest honor God. I thought Steve would drain the clock and Prime Factor and post one and two. He got Tarantino, drew one post inside of him, who really showed high speed that day in the Holy Bull. So the race is just going to set up so well, I think, for greatest honor. I talked about him before last week when I mentioned him as well. I really thought the Holy Bull was a big step forward from his maiden win. I loved his turn of foot in there. Every performance number on that race that I've seen came back strong, and I expect him to keep moving forward with the victory. I mean, clearly the horse to beat, a horse that I'm going to single in every single multi-race bet I make at Gulfstream tomorrow.
That's interesting. I certainly, you know, I'm actually rooting for, and I do think you mentioned the fig. There was even speculation, I know, on the buyer team that number could have been quite a few points higher, like to the tune of 93 or 94 higher. And the question becomes, I don't sense that there's as much speed in here in terms of a setup. Drain the Clock is going to fire from, you know, from the inside, and we'll see how much pressure he gets. There's certainly a school of thought that says he's the one to catch. And, you know, it's a place where when you're the one to catch, that plays pretty well.
Yeah, definitely dangerous with that short stretch there. I mean, what a freakish type performance in the swale. Couldn't have been more impressive from Drain the Clock. you know, I was surprised to see Tarantino show that speed. You're right. Maybe he doesn't come winging out of it, the gate like he did in that Holy Bull when, he was running pretty quick that day, in his first dirt start for Brissette. And Prime Factor, you know, sort of like, you know, a little bit hard to figure what Irad Ortiz is going to do out of the starting gate with him. I mean, obviously he could sit second, but he might be hustling a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, I just think that, you know, I'm a little bit against drain the clock going two turn distances, but it wouldn't shock me if he did steal a race wire to wire.
What else you like at the Gulfstream tomorrow?
And the race in between the Devona Dale and the Fountain Youth is the very one. That's a race where I am keen on a horse, Steve. I like number 6, California Queen, making her U.S. debut for Chad Brown. She shows some good works on the turf at Palmettos. She exits the 6th in a Group 1 race to Wonderful Tonight, who was a rival of Tarnawa last year, came right back to win the Philly and Mayor's Champions 2 weeks later after that race at Longchamp. And I just think this California Queen is just going to crush them and it's going to win and look good, because I think this mile 3/16 distance is right up her alley. Looks like a filly that just in the typical Chad Brown vein, where he gets after their three-year-old season, she moves forward at age 4 against our U.S. runners. Be interested to see what price she is. She did get a 10-horse field, and she's 4-1 on the morning line. So I definitely wanted to mention her because I am keen on her.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's one of those scenarios, you know, the first time North America, you just, you know, you have to acknowledge and respect. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
All right, and then I'll just go right to the Devona Dale. One Turn Mile features the return of Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner, V-Quist. I mean, you know, she's definitely, you know, she won the Spinaway going 7 furlongs, really won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. You know, going back and taking a look at those races again, I mean, it's just amazing to me how Day Out of the Office just coughs up that lead and stretch in that Juvenile Filly, Steve. I still give V-Quist plenty of credit. I just wonder if the One Turn Mile distance coming back off the shelf could be a little bit of a liability for her. I'm going with number 4, Curlage Catch. Granted, her numbers did not come back that strong from that Suncoast, but she just broke her maiden 2 starts back at a one-turn mile for Mark Cassie at Gulfstream by Open Lens. I love the visually the turn of foot she showed in the stretch just to take over that Suncoast last time and finish full of run. And I'm betting on her continuing to improve, running a faster speed ratings going forward, and being a quality three-year-old filly. I think this is a good spot to better. If this was a two-turn race against V-Quist and some of these others, might be a little bit against her. But I like number 4, Curlin's Catch, in the Devona Dale.
This is the place to traditionally to, you know, to try to beat a returnee, no doubt.
Yeah. And then I'll mention one other race at Gulfstream before I switch over to Oaklawn Park. Race number 7 is a 1 mile conditioned allowance race for older horses. Has a bunch of horses with stakes experience. And really, it's interesting because this race has Untitled in it. It's very quick. It has this Superfecto, who's an up-and-coming horse, Constitution Colt for Ralph Nix. Some nice horses. But I do think there's plenty of pace signed on here. And I'm very keen on number 11, Attachment Rate. He ran so well last year at Gulfstream Park, breaking his maiden, running 2nd in that Unbottled Stakes. I think that when they tried to stretch him out a distance last year, Steve, you know, he ran okay to run 2nd in Ellis Park Derby. 1.25 miles too far for him. Dale Romans came back, gave him a race on turf because he's by hard spun, gave him a chance to see if he can run on turf. He didn't run well in that race, but it provided a level of fitness that's going to benefit Attachment Rate tomorrow. And I think he's going to get the proper setup and win the 2nd start back. He's 8-1 on the morning line in race number 7, Attachment Rate.
Excellent. I had not. I had put the allowance and maiden races aside, so I haven't looked at those yet. I can tell everybody, though, I just heard from Brad Cox, Kinetic Sky is a scratch tonight out of the Battaglia, and so if Darren Miller wants to get in with Baquina, he can, and waiting to hear back from Kenny McPeak about Kinetic Sky, not Kinetic Sky, but about Warrior in Chief, who, of course, has entered today at Gulfstream in that allowance that we talked about with Known Agenda. It came up yesterday with Steve Haskin, so we'll see what Kenny's doing. So you might have as many as two, unless Kenny shipped up. And he does like Turfway. He certainly has had his share of success up there as well. So there's a little piece of news. Kinetic Sky out of the Battaglia.
All right. And then I'll turn to Oaklawn Park, go over a couple of the stakes there and give one other pick I like on the card. Just starting with race number 7, the Razorback. This is the first race back for Owendale. He ran so big last year off the layoff in that Blame Stakes at Churchill Downs. Love that performance. Came back after a fifth in the Foster, got some time off. After that second in the Pimlico Special, had a terrible post in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, offered a good run for third at a mile and eighth in the Clark. I like the turn back to a mile 16th. He's been training well, and I'll just say this about Owendale. Last year, after that Stephen Foster, when he got some time off, after Monomoy Girl ran in the Ruffian at New York, Brad Cox started. I talked to a clocker who was telling me this last fall. He was working Owendale and Monomoy Girl in every single workout together for a period of months, and she was just drilling his butt in every workout. And but now he's gotten away from her in a sense. Like I said, I think he's prepped for a good five-year-old season. He's been training for Lee, obviously has a 5-furlong bullet work in preparation at Fairgrounds, and I think he's going to come back running big in the Razorback, Steve.
Excellent. What else at Oaklawn, anything?
I like Kamari a little bit in the Spring Fever. Granted, that's a tough race, but I respect her coming back there for Brad, Wesley Ward. I still think she's a nice filly, slightly raced filly. In the Southwest Stakes, I just am on Jackie's Warrior. I do not think that – I think that the essential core quality and Jackie's Warrior are in completely different boats, where the connections of essential quality know that he can get a mile and a 16th, no problem. They have no reason to, like, be worried about the distance. They're going to have him ready for the race, but they just need a solid showing. But for Jackie's Warrior to go forward on the Kentucky Derby Trail, he's got to run big. And he's winless in his one race at two turns. I think they've trained him harder, and I just think he's loan speed. I think he's going to get out there on a clear lead. I think he's going to run a big race at a mile 16th and win the Southwest Stakes.
Well, and what's, you know, what the harmony is here, of course, between the Southwest and the Fountain is that you've got essential quality and greatest honor that, you know, that look like, you know, proverbial, you know, target on their back types, or, you know, horses to beat, and then you've got two lone speeds essentially when it comes to Jackie's Warrior and Drain the Clock. So it's very interesting to see how, you know, how the two will unfold, and of course connections, you know, sees the PPs.
Yeah, and I think it's very interesting in that Breeders' Cup Juvenile. It's worth mentioning again. People probably are aware of this. But after, at the half mile pole, with a little bit more than a half mile to run, Hot Rod Charlie, Essential Quality, and Keep Me in Mind were 7th, 8th, and dead last. None of them were in the top 6. After a half mile in the Juvenile. The only horse that was up there chasing that pace that was around at the finish, and he was as close to Essential Quality at the wire as he was to the fifth pace finisher, Rombauer, was Jackie's Warrior. So he does have that effort that is better than it looks in a sense, considering he was doing all the dirty work on the front end, and he was the only one of the speed that was around at the finish. That race, proverbially tight, toughen him up for his second effort at the mile and a 16th distance.
Nice.
One other horse at Oaklawn Park, I'll mention, since I picked a lot of short price horses. In race number 11, number 1, Muralist, tomorrow on Saturday. He's 12-1 in that race. He's making his third start off the layoff. second started a mile and a 16th. For some reason, this horse got marooned at longer distances last year. This mile and a 16th distance hits him between the eyes. He's going to run a good race in the finale at Oaklawn Park. And if you got a second, I got one more pick for you, Steve.
You bet.
At Turfway Park in the finale today, number two, Go Stellar. 12-1 on the morning line. I think she catches a bad field here. It's a non-winners of one race in forever kind of race, or non-winners of a race in, like, since February 2020. She has really finished well in her last four starts over the track, even though she hasn't been close recently. Her form is better at Turfway than it looks at first glance. Got a big chance today in this week race. Number two, Go Stellar in the race eight at Turfway.
The last minute Friday push from Scully. The two in the eighth goes off at 9:46 tonight. And of course, the two stakes. Nice action tonight in Florence. James, good luck this weekend. Lots to look forward to. And of course, we'll talk to Ed in a little bit and get through the Twin Spires offers for the week, and that includes leaderboard opportunities. And since there's points, right? Bataglia selections tonight. Don't forget.
Get them in. Bataglia added to the road to the Kentucky Derby series this year. Yeah, great contest. No reason if you're a Twin Spires member that you shouldn't be doing the road to the Kentucky Derby challenge. It's free to enter. Lots of great prizes. And best of luck to you this weekend, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
James_Scully111. There it is. Let's take a break. A couple minutes past the top of the hour. And for those that saw my listing, I put out the listing of the show for today. And it includes, I've got a great reserve of these kinds of pictures. Ed DeRosa with Jay Pribman. Lunch at Stubby's across the street from Oaklawn, and good barbecue. We ran into Grant Forster that day. Jay Privman joins us next. We'll do a little Derby watch, but we'll also get Jay's Hall of Fame reaction in terms of the 10 potential inductees. Back after this, hour two. Ed is to follow. Nick Tamaro, Mike Welch with all the Gulfstream looks. Papo Morales, too, will do some form-to-win ideas utilizing the app, form2win.com. Back after this, Twin Spires weekend preview at the races, SiriusXM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 3-8-4-6-4-3.
SiriusXM Sports presents